Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 13 of Revelation chapter 10, and we're continuing to look into verse 7. Revelation 10 verse 7 says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets." And in our last couple of Bible studies, we've been looking into this word mystery and how God uses it in the Bible. And we've seen that it is a word that identifies with the hidden truth of the scripture. And as Jesus said in Matthew 13 and in Mark chapter 4, that it is given unto you, he was speaking to his disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And yet to them, that is, those that are not disciples or not elect individuals, it is not given that hearing they hear and not understand and so forth. And that is basically a good summary of what God has done with the whole book, the Bible. He has sent it forth into the world, and it is given to those he has predestinated from before the foundation of the world to receive it. They will hear it. They will understand it. And they will know the mysteries of the things that are concealed in the word. But to others, remember, many are called, but few are chosen. To the many that are called and not chosen, it is not given. They cannot comprehend. They cannot understand. They can hear it. Yes, they can see it. Yes, but they cannot perceive it. And they cannot grab a hold of it. And that's all according to God's perfect design, his perfect plan. This is how God wanted it to be. And so now as we've gotten to the point in Revelation 10 of Judgment Day, of the period of time where we have entered into the final stage of Earth's history, wherein soon there will be time no longer. And God, at the beginning of the time of the end, as the end began with judgment upon the churches, the Great Tribulation began the period of the end, and God opened up the scriptures. We read of the Lord's plan to do that in the book of Daniel. Seal up the word until the time of the end. And of course that matches very well with what God has done with the Bible. He has sealed it up through parables, through hiding truth and in his word. And many of those truths were sealed until the time of the end. And now some truths were revealed here and there as time was unfolding throughout the history of the world. For instance, at the beginning of the church age, God revealed a certain mystery as the Apostle Paul is moved to explain in Ephesians chapter 3. It says in verse 3, Ephesians 3 verse 3, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And there is the mystery. God wrote about it extensively in the Old Testament concerning that the Gentiles would come in, they would be part of, they would be recipients of the promise to Abraham and his seed. They would be counted also amongst that seed in Christ through the atoning work of the Lord. And yet the Jews were ignorant of it. They were furious at the idea when the apostle Paul, they thought, had brought a Gentile into the temple. And they gave him heed, in one instance, listening to him until he mentioned Gentiles. And then they began throwing dust in the air. They had no ears to hear this, no eyes to see it. God held this information back from them, but in the proper time, the time of the church age, the time when it was the Lord's plan to send forth his word into the nations of the world, and Gentile and nation are a translation of the same word, and now it was time to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, so God opened up the minds of his people. The apostle Paul and others, other Jews, were now made aware. They could then read the scriptures that were always right there. The scriptures were always in plain sight, yet now gave understanding concerning them. And that's how the Lord opens up a mystery. And so the mystery was revealed. And that's what God has been doing. He did with certain things regarding the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, as Christ entered into the human race and demonstrated the things he had done from the foundation of the world. Yes, a good deal of information concerning that mystery of the Messiah and his person, and that he was eternal God and made flesh, and a good deal of other things was revealed. And the New Testament revealed much mystery, but not all. Actually, there was large amounts of information that continued to be concealed. And it was God's plan that that information be concealed until the time of the end, until almost the world was over. And we're, of course, the ones who were living at that time, were living at the time that God unsealed the Bible, opened up the scriptures to the understanding of his people so that knowledge of the Bible would increase. And we've learned many things over the course of the last couple of decades. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to read the first two verses, 1 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You see here God is speaking to the believer, the child of God, and he's basically giving us an office, a duty, a responsibility as a steward. And what are we stewards of? We're stewards of the mysteries of God. We are a servant. We have responsibility towards the mysteries of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, what it means is that God has given to us an understanding of the mystery. Remember, again, what Jesus said in Matthew 13. And I'll just quickly turn there in Matthew 13, verse 11. He answered and said unto them, in answering the question, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And since it is given unto you, the true believer, to the elect individual only, it's not given unto them. Therefore, the people of the world, for instance, those that have no understanding or identification of the things of God, it's not given to them. They cannot be a steward of the mystery. And also the people that populate the churches and congregations of the world. At this time, since God has ended the church age and separated the wheat from the tares, all the tares remain in the churches. It is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Therefore, they cannot be stewards of God's mysteries, and they're not. It's very obvious. If you just look at the doctrines that a true believer holds to, when we look at, for instance, the doctrine of deeper spiritual meaning. Does the Christian in the church hold to that doctrine? Well, they may acknowledge that there is a deeper spiritual meaning in the Bible in some instances, but for the most part, they don't look for it. They don't teach it. They say, just look on the surface. Look for the plain literal meaning. Or we could look at the timeline of history, the biblical calendar that God has opened up to us based upon the genealogies in the book of Genesis. And it's just remarkable that the Lord has provided a history of the world from the creation. We have the actual date of creation, 11,013 B.C. And we can know the actual date of the flood in Noah's day of 4990 B.C. And we know from creation exactly that it was 6,023 years. And so on. God has given us the date of Abram's birth and the date for the birth of Isaac 100 years later, and the date for the birth of the twins, Jacob and Esau. And we know the actual date when King David became king, the date the foundation of the temple was laid, and the date of the kings. We have the chronology of the kings of Israel and Judah, and the date of Jerusalem's destruction at the hands of the Babylonians. We know the date of the birth of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, in 7 B.C., and the date of the baptism of Jesus and the entire timeline of Christ's ministry as it fulfilled the 1,335 days that are mentioned in Daniel 12. And we know that Jesus was crucified in 33 AD and so on. We have all of this precise information that was hidden in the Bible and therefore a mystery that was not revealed until the time of the end. And God has graciously given it to us. And we are stewards of this information. And that's why it is such a horrible thing an awful thing when people quickly now are saying, oh, I don't trust that calendar. And they don't refer to the calendar, and they don't speak of the calendar, and they don't share the information concerning the calendar. Oh, they were burnt, they believe, by trusting a date that came forth from the calendar, and so they have now put away that calendar. Or it's the same thing with other information concerning the end of the church age. We have exact dates, but based upon that biblical calendar of history that God has opened to our eyes, where we can know the 1955 years of the church age from 33 AD to 1988, and even know the very date, May 21, 1988, the day before Pentecost, that the church age came to an end. And then we know the 2300 evening mornings and where that fits. And we know the timeline for the latter rain, beginning September 7th in 1994, and continuing for the duration of the Great Tribulation. We know precisely the date of the Great Tribulation period, May 21, 1988, until May 21, 2011, an exact 23 years, a full 8,400 days, and then we know the date for Judgment Day. And what do people want to do with this information? Well, they don't want to look at it for the most part. And for they're putting it behind them. They're trying to distance themselves from it. They don't want to talk about it anymore. Well, is that being a steward of the mystery of the things that God has revealed to us? Of course not. A steward would maintain these things, hold on to these things, and share these things with others. That's what being a steward is, or rather a good steward, as it says in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 4. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You need to be faithful concerning the mysteries of God, the mysteries of the kingdom that are given. It's a gift from God. They're given to you and to me and to all that heard and believe these things. They're given to those that had eyes to understand them. And now for anyone to turn and to go back from them, well, that is not a good thing at all. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, God is going to continue addressing this idea of a steward. In Luke 12, beginning in verse 41, it says, "Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all?" Now notice, it's a parable, just like in Matthew 13, the disciples asked him about a parable. And then in verse 42, "And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward?" That's the same word, the same Greek word that's found in 1 Corinthians 4, where God speaks of being a steward of the mysteries of God. And then he talks about being a faithful steward. You must, if you're a steward, there is a necessity and a requirement by God that you be found faithful. God has no time for unfaithful stewards. God does not suffer unfaithful stewards of his mysteries very gladly at all. Well, here again in verse 42 of Luke 12, "The Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season?" Or in due time. Due season is a translation of the Greek word keros, and it's often translated as time. In due time. Now, this could relate to harvest, although keros is used in various ways in relationship to various times of God's program of times and seasons. And there is the time of harvest in Matthew 13:30. The word time is keros also, the due season of harvest, we could call it. Yet the context here in Luke 12 has to do with the time of the end. So I think we're being very safe to understand this servant, that the Lord is going to speak? Who is that faithful we're going to address? Who is that faithful and wise steward that his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Now remember what 1 Corinthians 4 said, you're stewards, not over actual bread and water. You're not stewards concerning that. You don't have to wait tables or anything like that. This is a spiritual book, the Bible, and God is concerned with being a good steward, a faithful steward regarding the mysteries of his kingdom. It's given to you to know those mysteries. And the Lord now is addressing who will be a good and faithful or faithful and wise steward when he makes him ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. In other words, this ties in with the Lord Jesus speaking to Peter in John 21 after the great catch of fish, which those great catch of fish point to the great multitude that came out of great tribulation. And then Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? Oh, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And then Christ responds again, feed my sheep. In the time period after the great tribulation, in those days after that tribulation, this is what I want you to do. Give to my household, give them their portion of meat in due season, or in the time of harvest, in the time of judgment day, in those days after that tribulation. And that's what Luke 12, 42 is relating to. And then it says in verse 43 of Luke 12, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And that is our expectation, our hope, that we will continue to obey God, to trust God, to trust his word, and to be patient after having done the will of God, that is the will of God concerning the evangelization of the world and getting the gospel out, the time of sowing, that's all completed. And so that aspect of the will of God is accomplished, and following that, there is a need for patience, and so we're waiting on the Lord, and we have an expectation he will return after 1600 days. And if he does, if we're correct, or whatever day he returns, to fulfill this time period, this judgment day, which is a prolonged period of time, and we have been found faithful and good stewards of the mysteries of God. That is, we've maintained the end of the church age. We've maintained the biblical calendar of history. We've maintained the teaching that Christ was slain from the foundation of the world, and that's where sins were paid for. We've maintained the doctrine of annihilation. That is what God requires as payment for sin, the utter destruction of the sinner. We've maintained that May 21, 2011, based upon that calendar of history, was the beginning of Judgment Day. And so forth, we've maintained these things, these mysteries that have been revealed, long hidden but open to us, and therefore, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing, so maintaining the mysteries of the word of God. And then it says in verse 44, of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. Now this is the individual who claimed, who professed, and perhaps who many others thought was a steward of the mysteries of God. And yet, notice what prompts, what causes this servant, this steward, to leave those responsibilities of being a good and faithful steward of God's mysteries. It's related to the Lord delaying his coming. But is it? Notice it says, but, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. It doesn't mean that God delayed. No, God is following his timetable. The timetable God has always known. There is no actual delay. And that's why the Bible says, though he tarry, he will not tarry. The coming of Christ in every phase, in every aspect of it, is perfectly designed and worked out by God to the smallest detail. God is fulfilling everything according to his perfect will. But from the perspective of that evil servant, the one saying in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, he doesn't believe in a spiritual judgment because it's spiritual and it's not something he can see. He doesn't believe, he begins to doubt these other things and well, the date that Christ was supposed to come, May 21, 2011, was based on that calendar. Therefore, I don't trust that calendar. But it's that calendar that ties into the end of the church age, that lets us know when the church age ended. Therefore, really, I don't trust the end of the church age. And everything begins to unravel. And on top of that, notice that because he says in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. He's not taking care of the household, giving them meat, their portion in due season. Now he's beating the members of the household. And how quickly some have turned and almost like a snake, and they have started reviling and casting reproach at the very ones they were standing with. And now they point the finger and cry heresy and heretic, just like those that were in the churches that did not like to hear of the spiritual judgment upon them. And they too were denouncing the family radio and those that were teaching of things concerning the end of the church age. It is tragic and a tragedy that this is happening, that these individuals, due to their perception that the Lord has delayed his coming, now have turned upon those they should have been feeding as good stewards of God's mysteries. And then in verse 46, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. And sadly, again, this is going on right now in this day of judgment. Many have turned their eyes away from the word of God. They've turned them to politics. They've turned them to trying to better society. They've turned them to whatever there is under the sun. And they've turned away from true and earnest searching of the Bible concerning the things of the end. They're sick of it. They want nothing further to do with it, and therefore they're going to be ignorant when God completes this judgment upon them.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Paltalk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.